Well, we're in the middle of a series that we've called Reboot. Just as we need to power cycle our electronic devices these days to kind of help them get functioning again and to start off with a clean start, the same is true in our lives, right? There's a need for us to reboot. Now, as a follower of Christ, it doesn't have to be the first of the year, but what a great time to do that, because culturally we're thinking of this being a second chance, a second opportunity, right? I mean, that's what our culture is all about, that somehow something mystical or magical happens when the calendar clocks from the last day of December to January 1st. But the simple reality is we know that there's nothing mystical or magical about it, but rather it's what we choose to believe and what we choose to think. And for the follower of Jesus Christ, we know that the Lord desires for us to always be rebooting and restarting our lives so that we can be where we need to be. And so that's the challenge of it. But since the beginning of the year, we're doing a series called Reboot 2017, and we've been taking a look at a number of different areas. We've been taking a look at our relationship with Jesus Christ. We began there. And then we did a baptismal service and looked at some other things. But this week, I want to take a look at what most people think of rebooting their life and making a New Year's resolution. It's interesting, in my contacts over the first week or so, week and a half of the new year with different people, the number one thing came up. In fact, one person asked me this year, and they said, wasn't somebody in the church, was somebody outside the church, and they said, have you made any resolutions for the new year? I was actually at the dentist's office. You know, I never can figure that out. They got all that stuff in your mouth, and they're asking you questions. And it's not like a yes or no question, right? I mean, have you made resolutions for the new year? I can say yes, but she's kind of expecting an explanation of it. Sweet gal, it's not just her. It just seems to be maybe they do that to keep you distracted, not thinking about your teeth. That's probably the bottom line. There's probably some higher purpose in there that I'm just ignorant of, and they're helping me out. But, you know, it's interesting that so often when we think about resolutions, we think about the area of physical health. We think of weight, getting in shape, and that becomes a huge thing to us, and it's good. In fact, many of us, we kind of fall into the trap of kind of letting things go, starting at the end of Thanksgiving until the end of December, right? And if we're alike, the rationalization becomes, well, I'll just lose it all come January, right? That's kind of the thing. It's kind of bogus thinking, to be honest. Maybe I'll talk about that a little bit later. But I want to talk to us about physical health. And as we reboot our lives from a biblical perspective, I want to take a look at that. As I was going through my files, I was reminded of a gal named Heidi Montage. She was on a very popular TV series. Her and her, I think it was her boyfriend at the time, they're married now. But she went through 10. She kind of portrayed what culture is kind of preaching to you and I and what we're often grabbing at. I think it was plastic surgeries on one day, right? And it was just, very interesting, created a lot of discussion about it. But I think that's really a reflection of our society today as we think about it, is this need for personal enhancement in many different ways and shapes and form. Now, there was an article in People magazine about this scenario there, and some responded and called it an addiction. Others have called it an obsession, and I think it's probably more on the obsession category. But here's the thing, is that we're taking things that could be good in and of themselves, and we often take them to an extreme because our thinking and our philosophy is different than what Christ would have us to think. You see, we live in a culture where a certain image is presented to us. And we've come to know, if you haven't figured it out yet, that all of the models, all of the images you see are all airbrushed. And they're very unnatural. And in fact, it's interesting, I haven't read this recently, but I've read articles about how unhealthy it is for the models, because they have to maintain these unrealistic body appearances and weights to get the work. And it's just, it's insane. Whereas they could never put a normal person on there because of the image that has been created in trying to glamorize the product that they're selling. And by the way, if you haven't figured it out, our culture is saturated with this. I mean, everything involves sex. Everything does. I mean, it's sad. But unfortunately, we begin to buy into these photoshopped images as the goal or target in our lives. And what happens is that in the case of Heidi Montage, it led her to making some poor choices in her life that she now regrets. I went back and looked it up this week just to see what happened. And it's interesting that, you know, they've lost everything, that her and her husband are living in one of their parents' homes, and because they lost it all. And she won't say that she regretted the surgery, but she almost says that and says it was a very dark point in her life where she got sucked into all of these things that she thought would make her popular. And the bottom line was is that she shared that when she was a kid, there were some things that were said that kind of negatively impacted her, and so she figured she could fix this. I guess there was a situation where when they videotaped it on a reality program where when she went to show her parents, and I guess they were just, her family was just so discouraged with the changes that she had made because that really wasn't her. That really wasn't her. But we live in our culture, and this is a huge thing that's going on. I mean, plastic surgery enhancements, surgical enhancements have now become the norm and expectation. It's sad, but we want to become something that we're not, rather than being ourselves. I checked the statistics this morning. It's estimated that there were 15.9 million cosmetic procedures performed in 2015. Think about it. If we're a population of 20 million people, right? There's 15.9 million procedures, right? So we're talking about a significant, maybe what is it, 1.5 out of 20 people are having these procedures done. And there's a whole range of them from body-changing surgeries to Botox and other things like that. And in fact, it's been growing every year. They say that from 2014 to 2015, there was like a 2 to 3% growth, and they're expecting the same thing. And here's the point, is that we are living in a culture that is obsessed with image, body image. And you and I are not exempt from this as followers of Jesus Christ. And many times, we get sucked into thinking and feeling and evaluating ourselves based on a non-biblical standard, the standard of culture. I've shared this story before, but this is a good point to share it again, is that I was shocked when we took our oldest daughter to go to a major state university here in Washington State for orientation. And when we went there, they had a class for the parents while they took the students off to talk about things. And in that class, they were preparing the parents. Kind of, it was a cultural assimilation. I forget what you call it. Anyways, it was a class where they had skits that were done by student leaders. And so you'd have the skit of a kid that parties too much. And then you had the skit of sex outside of marriage. But the one thing, and I you know what, we don't go there, but I kind of figured that would be kind of the culture. And they had the skit on alternative relationship stuff. But what I was surprised of, none of that caught me by surprise, but the one thing that caught me by surprise, because of the number of times they emphasized it, were the problems that they're having on a university campus. We're talking thousands of students, and especially with the girls, is in the area of body image issues. It's huge. It is huge. That was one of their top problems at the university. And I want you to know that school is not exempt. It just reflects the impact that the message of culture is having in hearts and lives. You see, the bottom line is that we've been led to believe that Barbie is the norm and the expectation. for a woman. And that's not true. That is not true. The proportions on a Barbie doll are incredibly exaggerated. That's why we chose, Carol and I, personal conviction, we chose not to have our girls play with Barbie dolls. Why? Because it wasn't realistic in what it communicated. Now, our kids might be damaged for the rest of their lives, but, but Carol and I make choices based on our values, and that was a value. We looked at it, and our kids got to do a lot of other stuff, but we didn't let them get absorbed in those things that were contradictory to what we believe Scripture would expect of a follower of Jesus Christ. And so, unfortunately, many people lose their lives. They don't lose their physical life, but they lose the meaning and significance of life by getting sucked into being something that they're not and trying to fit in. And let me just say that this is not just a problem with the gals. This is a problem with guys as well. Guys just manifest it in a different way, where it's the style of clothing you wear, it's whether you got to have the Abe Lincoln beard now because that's the cool thing, right? You know, the short haircut, right? The hipster kind of a look is the thing that's in right now, and so to fit in, you got to, the peer pressure is there. The same thing I think happens with tats and piercing and gauges and all of these things. And what I want us to say is that it's not just one gender that's struggling with this. This is a huge issue across the board. And I don't know that I'm against all of those things, but I think that as we look at the big picture collectively, we have to say, what are we doing here? What's going on? And we have a tendency to think that maybe, well, this is just a modern problem. Well, I'd like to tell you it's not. In fact, if you got your teaching outlines, go ahead and take them out, because in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 3, it says this. And again, this is a situation that's speaking to gals, and it's talking about marriage and where their focus needs to be in their relationship. I understand that. But I want you to get the contrast here, because Peter writes, he says, you should not use outward aids to make yourselves beautiful, such as the way you do your hair or the jewelry you put on or the dresses you wear. You see, what Paul was communicating here, or what Peter's communicating here to the group of believers he's writing to, he's saying, and I don't think he's saying that any of those things are wrong, but what I think he's saying is that what's really important is what goes on in here, is who you are in your relationship with Jesus Christ. I think what he's saying here is that real beauty comes from the inside, not the outside. And that's something that's completely foreign in the culture that we live in today. Paul told this to Timothy because writing in a Greek-Roman culture that was obsessed with physical beauty, right, to the point of having naked statues everywhere, right? They were obsessed with it. He said this to Timothy. He said, physical training is good. But listen to this. But training for godliness is much better. Why is it better? Because it promises benefits in this life and in the life to come. Hey, there's benefits from physical training and physical health. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we can go there, we need to realize that the most valuable thing in your life is training yourself to take Jesus' teaching and truth into your life and live it out. That is more important than being skinny or any other criteria that you're using to get your personal value from in your life. It's not saying it's not profitable, because it is, and we're going to talk about it because I think it's very profitable. But it's of no value if you miss your relationship with Jesus Christ. First of all, knowing him as your Lord and Savior, and then secondly, growing as a follower of Jesus Christ. So I want to go ahead and focus on that this morning, and I want to talk about that as we open God's Word, and I want to take a look at this area as we think about how can I improve myself in 2017 by focusing on healthy living. And so I want to begin by just asking an illustration. And I could go both ways on this, but how many of you, okay, let me just say this. How many of you own a home? Can I see your hands? Okay, great. I'm going to put those down. How many of you own a car? Okay. And so let's say, for the sake of illustration, if you don't own a home, you own a car. But let's say that your car or your home was going to be available. And you lent it to some friends. Family, friends, whoever it is, you can figure it out. Okay, so say like you're the house, you're going on vacation for 2 weeks, and somebody needs a place to stay, and you say, hey, you can stay at my house, right? Or say it was a month, whatever. And say when you came back, I want you to help me out with the response to this. When you came back, the house, which was clean, everything was in order for the most part. Nobody's house is perfect, right, ladies? But it's in good order. You come back, and the place is trashed. The dishes in the sink were overpiled, right? The counters are full of dirty dishes. They cooked some stuff and they burnt the pans and they just left the food in the pans on the counter, right? The trash bags were just kind of piled up in the corner of the kitchen because they didn't take the trash out. The bathrooms were worse. We won't even go there, right? You find a couple holes in your walls, right? Grass wasn't cut, blah, 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 blah. How would you feel? How would you feel?
I wouldn't be a happy camper.
You wouldn't be a happy camper. Anybody here that would be a happy camper? If you do, don't raise your hand. I need to talk to you. You wouldn't be a happy camper. Why? Why wouldn't you be a happy camper? Help me out here. They didn't respect your stuff, right? They didn't respect, and in a sense, by not respecting their stuff, guess what? They're not respecting who? They're not respecting you, the owner, right? And it's huge. It's huge. And that's a great way to get us thinking about ourselves, because I want to ask the question, who owns me? Who owns me? I want you to ask that question to yourself. Who owns me? And I want you to take some time and think about that. Because if it's your house, there's nothing wrong with leaving the dishes pile up because it's your house. You're the owner, right? There's nothing wrong with burning a pan of food and just leaving it sit there. Now, it's kind of gross, right? You need to get some help there. But the point is, it's your house, right? If you want to kick holes in the wall, which is foolish, go for it, right? Because it's your house. It's your house. You own it. So the question becomes, as we think about our lives, is who owns me? And I think that as you think about that question, you can answer it in the sense of, in a couple of different ways as you think about what motivates you or determines for you to take care of yourself. And I think that I want to come back and talk about the who owns me in a second, but I want you to think about that. So I was thinking about this. There's a lot of reasons why we can take care of ourselves, thinking of our bodies as a house, take care of it. And there's a lot of reasons, but only one is really biblical. Not that all of them are bad, but sometimes we say, I take care of myself to impress other people. You know, some folks can't leave the house in the morning unless they're in a certain presentable format. And if I were to ask you why, you would say, well, I don't know who I'm going to run into, right? And the Bible tells us is that kind of an approach, while it's not bad, there's nothing wrong with that, it's called the fear of man. In Proverbs 29:25, it says this, the fear of man lays a snare. What's a snare? A snare is a trap. You're walking into a trap when you allow what others think of you to dictate what you do. It's a form of bondage. And in the article I was referring to, the gal that was doing all these things said that she was doing it because of what other people thought of her. One of the quotes in the article, some researchers say that the media is part of the problem, bombarding us with images of this ideal Barbie doll person that's unattainable without nips and tucks and more. The results, especially for someone who starts at such a young age, could be disastrous, at least on a physiological level. And then there's this quote by a psychologist that says, I think fundamentally when someone goes on for many, many, many procedures and starts at a young age, they're trying to change something about themselves. They want to become a new person, and you just can't do that through a scalpel, which is so true. The bottom line is they want to, in some way, change who they are because they're not happy with it at the core, and that problem can be more of a psychological one, she went on to say. But we also know it's a spiritual one. The Bible says right here is that the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. So it could be because we're doing it because we're concerned about what other people think. A second reason we do that is because we want to put health first. We want health to be first. I want to do it because I want to be healthy, or maybe I want to be accepted, or I want to fit in. And isn't it true that our culture kind of reinforces this idea that beautiful people are loved, accepted, and successful? Am I right? That's part of our culture. And so sometimes if we're not in that classification, if we're not beautiful people or don't view ourselves that way, we don't view ourselves as being loved or accepted or as successful. And sometimes that comes as a result of comments that are made. Was anybody here? Don't raise your hands. Anybody called four eyes as a kid or told that you were fat or ugly? Maybe you've heard the kid. I mean, kids can be brutally ruthless. You know, have you heard the rhyme? Fatty, fatty, 2x4, can't fit through the kitchen door, right? And it's huge. The peer pressure to fit in and to match up. Now, in fairness, there's some people that flip on that. Instead of trying to match up, they give up. So their response to the peer pressure is to completely let themselves go. They neglect themselves. And the bottom line is that all of us are influenced by the culture. Sometimes we do it. Here's another reason. We do it because it makes me feel good. There's nothing wrong with this. Health is very wonderful, but when that becomes our ultimate goal, we're looking to please ourselves, aren't we? When it's about feeling good, about our weight and how we look and all of these other things. Sometimes the flip half side happens. We want to make ourselves feel good, so we get into problems by comfort eating and other behaviors like that don't help us out at all. Now, what I want you to get here is not that any of these reasons are necessarily bad. I think they are the potential to be bad. But what I want you to see is that there's a more important reason why you should focus on taking care of your body. And it's this. It's because God, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, God owns your body. You see, you're not the owner of the house. He is. And this is an incredible truth, and it has ramifications in a lot of decisions we make. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, the emphasis in the context is on being sexually pure and not engaging in activities that would be outside of marriage, because you suck God into participating in that and thereby defile him as you defile your body. But the same thing appeals to us taking care of our bodies in a wider sense. Look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. It says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? What does it say next? Would you read that with me in the yellow? You are what? Not your own. You know what that says? That says if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, if you've accepted him, you no longer own your body. You no longer own your body. You no longer own your body. You're living in a house that belongs to Jesus. You're borrowing a car that belongs to Jesus Christ. He owns you. In fact, look at 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. It says, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited by your forefathers, not with perishable things such as gold or silver. To be ransomed is to be purchased. The picture is of a slave on a slave block that is up for sale. I know it's a concept that's foreign in our minds because slavery has been abolished, wonderfully abolished in our country. Many places of the world, it still is practiced, and at that time it was very common. But the picture is here is that you don't have any rights. You're a slave. You're up for sale to the highest bidder. And Jesus Christ, God loved you so much, He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to purchase you, which means that He owns you, and He did that through His precious blood, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish. And here's the point here. If you look at the next verse there in 1 Corinthians 7, it says this: you were bought with a price. And then what does it say next? Do not become a bondservant of men. Don't become a slave. Don't become a slave to the images and influences of culture. Don't become a slave to the comments of other people. Why? Because God owns you. Go ahead and write this down or circle this on your outline if you haven't filled in. Is that my body is God's property, not mine. Second thing I want you to see here quickly is I want you to see this, and you know this, is that God made me. God made you. God made me. You see, the culture tells us that that's not really true. And our enemy, the devil, is a master at causing you and me to be discontent with who we are. But I want you to think about something. The discontent that you feel with the way you look, the size of your nose, or whatever, is not from God. It's not from God. And if it's not from God, then it's coming from some other source that's not got your best in mind. It could be from the culture, the world. It could be from your own desires to fit in, the flesh, or it could be a temptation from the devil himself, as Scripture tells us. But in Psalm 139, David grasped this truth of the fact that you are special to God when he penned the words in Psalm 139. For he says this to God about himself: for you formed my innerward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. My friends, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Everything about you, the way you were created, your height, body type, the size of your nose, whatever it might be, is the way that God wanted it to be. Wonderful are your works, he says to God about himself. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in the secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Give me the next slide. Your eyes saw my unformed substance, and in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them. Do you catch the glory of this, the significance of it? It's saying is that God created you the way that you are for a special plan and purpose. Before the process took place within your mother's womb, God was already at work and had a plan for your life. My friends, you are special the way you are. You don't need any enhancements because God doesn't make mistakes. He got it right from the beginning. And on bottom there, you see this as I am just the way God intended. Would you say that with me? I am just the way God intended. Say it again. I am just the way that God intended. Now, some of you aren't believing that right now because you've been so indoctrinated by culture. But I'm telling you, this is what God's Word says, not only here, but again and again and again. You're just the way that God intended you to be. The third thing here is that God loves you. And you can see that in 1 John 4:10. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. The word propitiation is a big word that means is that God paid the bill. Propitiation means to satisfy the demands of a righteous God. That's what propitiation is. In simple terms, it means is that God paid the bill. We talked about that already. And the simple truth of this, as you see on the point there, is I've already pleased the one who matters most. You already please him. God didn't save you so that somehow you would please him now. He saved you because he loved you. He did what was best in your interest. You don't have to please him anymore because he's already pleased. Now, in response to that, we live the way he wants us to live because of his grace in our life and what he's done. And then here's the fourth thing I want us to see here, and it's this, is that I honor God by taking care of his body. Did you catch that? It's not my body, it's his body. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price, and here it is, so you must honor God with your body. You know what some translations translate that word honor as? They translate it as glorify. They say the word glorify, as you know, means to make God bigger. It means to magnify God by the choices you make and the way you live. So God wants us to make him bigger. He wants us to glorify him in the choices that we make. And Zach, he's been on an incredible journey, and I want him to just come up and share just some practical stuff in a few minutes. With just come up here, give a testimony, Zach. Let's give him a round of applause. Woo! I don't know if it's not. Let me see. Okay, I think the battery's dead.
Battery's dead. Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, I generally have a big voice anyway. So, yes, this is very back in November. My wife and I actually started on a journey, we started on this. It's a weight loss program, and if you want to know what it is, I'll tell you about it later. But it all kind of started for me. Back probably about 5 years ago or so. I was at a point where I could drive the car and I could walk the 50 or 60 steps to the pew, and I was so exhausted. I could barely participate in service. Okay, at the health club, the scale was at 450, and then you could put the 450 on, and then you could run the bar across, and it's another 50 pounds. So I could put that on there and run it all the way across, and it didn't even tip the scale at all. So I was clearly over 500 pounds someplace. And so it was like, okay, you know what? Just following the idea of.
Yeah.
I don't own my body. God owns my body. And I've been in ministry now. You know, it's like, started ministry back here. And when I was, a young youth pastor, I could get in and do everything with my kids. You know, I was in the thick of things, man. I was, we'd go down and we'd be running along the river or something like that. I could keep up with them and everything was good. No problems. We want to go someplace or do whatever. We want to go hiking. We used to go hiking. We used to go to all these places and do all these things. And as I got older and as I just let the culture kind of saturate my life, my motivation to do anything got less and less and less.
Yeah.
And so it was like I thought a whole lot less of this is my body, and none of this health stuff applies to me. That's all right. I'm not going to worry about that. I'm still doing what I want to do. I'm still getting together with the kids and everything else. And as time went on, I ended up, Carol and I got married in 99. We moved up to the church in Burlington, and it was like, in about that 3 or 4 years, we were married, and I was at 220, in about 2 years, 2.5 years or so, I ended up hitting real close to 300 pounds. So, I mean, it went up quick, and I just was not focused at all on my weight or how that would affect me, and things have come into play. At that threshold, I mean, we don't think about this, but shoes have a weight limit. I don't know if you know that or not, but it's about 300 pounds for shoes most of the time. So, everything is wearing out faster.
Yeah.
Your clothes wear out faster. My shoes, my jackets, all that kind of stuff wear out so much faster. My health issues, I went from having nothing at all, no health problems or whatsoever. I had heart issues, but that's different. That's not weight related. But, diabetes and all those types of things. All those things started to come into play. You know, I all of a sudden wasn't able to keep up with the kids anymore. Yeah. I wasn't able to keep up with my friends. We would go play bowling. I mean, how many have done bowling? Play bowling? Yeah, okay. See, bowling is good. That's a great activity. Okay, but for me to play a game of a match of bowling, I was done. I mean, I played one game, and that was it. It's like, you know, wait a second. That's not good. And just reflecting on the idea that, you know, my body is not my own, it's taken a while to get to this point. But Carol and I kind of sat down in, well, I guess it was September, because it took us till November to really say, you know what, okay, after praying about this, we need to get control of this. I mean, yeah. Excuse me. We got kids here, I mean, and just thinking about TLC, you know, the hill at TLC, I know Brandon was talking about, you know, promised Pastor Joe that he's going to make that hill.
He did, too.
You know?
Yeah.
And he did, and that's awesome. Yeah. There was no way for me to do that this year. I admit to you, there was just no way for me to do that. I went this summer to Snoqualmie Falls, and I hiked down. I got down, and I got like 3/4 of the way up in 90-degree weather, and my body said, forget it, you're done. That's it, you know. Heat and everything, forget it. This is not going to happen. And I came back and it was like, you know, so Carol and I started praying and things. And it was like, wait a second here. You know what? We got to take control of this. If my body's not my own, you know, and life is in an endurance race, you know, then I got to pace myself. I got to be able to, you know. And so we've kind of been doing weight loss. And there again, I'll tell you about the program if you want. But it's been wonderful. So we are, from the beginning of November until now, I'm down over 60 pounds.
Woo!
So, this was my rain jacket, okay, that I had, I've had it forever. This is what it looks like. It was tight on me before, okay? Now, I can almost go into it twice. This is really motivating, just to tell you. It's really exciting. Carol is, my wife is actually down.
Yeah, you shouldn't say anything. That's right. That's good.
So,
T-O-O.
Yeah, she's down as well. Yes, very true. So it's just an exciting journey as we think about how we go forward from here. I mean, I've got a lot to go. I want to be down where I was when I was married, if not less than that. I want to actually fit back into my tux so I can take my wife out to dinner, and you know, so we can actually have this really nice. Anyway, but that's kind of motivating too. But it's just, it's wonderful. And so as we go forward from here, and we just think about the idea that you know, as a race, you know, in the endurance part. That, and my body's not my own, is that, you know what, I want to be there for service. I want to be there for my wife. I'm going to live longer. I'm going to last longer. I'm going to be able to do more things. I'm not going to have to worry, you know, necessarily. I have to keep in check with that. And so, you know, I'll be able to do more things with my wife. I'll be able to keep up more with the kids. I'm going to do TLC Hill next year.
Woohoo, so, that's right.
All right, so thank you. I appreciate it so much. And,
yes,
and,
good
just,
job, brother. Man, I appreciate that.
Yeah, sure.
You know, it's just about getting control of our lives. You know, there's so many things we buy into, so many lies we believe that just keep us from being really free and living life the way that we need to live it. And so I'm just going to go through some things real quick. And what I'm not going to develop these. I was going to talk about all. If you want to get healthy, and I encourage you in 2017 to look at your life and say, what can I do? Now, some people are skinny. I hate them, you know. They can eat whatever they want, and their metabolism burns it off, right? You understand I'm being funny. I love them a little bit. But the point is if you're a skinny person, you still need to get healthy. Maybe there's some food you're eating, some lack of activity. You need to get healthy. But for most of us, we carry some extra weight. I've been working on mine and God's been blessing. But the point is that in order for that to work, you gotta make a decision that you're gonna do it. My wife's really good about this. She'll do whatever I ask her to do, but she can't make the decision for me. Other people can't make the decision for you. You got to say, you know what, in 2017, I'm going to take some steps to do this. And the resources are incredible. We've got some dietitians in the congregation. I'll connect you up with them, and they can help you out if you got some issues. You know, there's a lot to be said, but you got to own it. You got to say, you know what, I'm tired of being where I'm at, and I want to get better. And I want to do it, first of all, because it's honoring to God, but then secondly, because of all the other blessings, it makes me feel good, and I'm able to do more, and all those things. We got to get our image of body in a right perspective. And so here, let me just give you some things to do. First of all, and these are on your outline there, you got to make it a lifestyle. Fad diets don't work. Because what happens after the diet's over? You gain all the weight back, right? It's got to be a lifestyle. And it would be better for you to lose a few pounds a month consistently in a lifestyle format than to lose 20 pounds in a month and then gain it all back in 2 months later. It's a lifestyle issue. And you come to this place because it's going to be you that's going to say, you know what, I'm not going to have that midnight snack. Or I'm not going to have a donut when somebody brings the whole smorgasbord to work. Right? It's a personal choice that you make. Secondly, is this, and there's a lot that could be said here, and there's verses with these. You can look these up. You eat a balanced diet. It's really about a balanced diet. Do you know that we're living in one of the most incredible times in human history? Right now, I did research on this a few years ago, is that right now we are able to produce the most amount of calories for the least amount of money. That means is that in a meal of chicken nuggets, you can get your calorie allotment for the day. It's an incredible thing about the scope of food in the world, is that to be able to have such a high calorie output for such a low dollar cost. Do you know what the downside of it is? Is that our bodies crave, develop a taste for those high calorie foods. And then we wind up eating the chicken McNuggets, which is I'm being a little facetious, but not by much. It's probably a calorie allotment for the day, and then we'll do something else at lunch, and then something else for dinner, and before we know it, we're consuming way too many calories. I'm a strong believer in the whole idea of getting back to whole foods, balanced foods, and I think part of that means you got to kind of jettison some of the processed stuff. Not kind of, you need to jettison it. A lot of that stuff, the fast food, just really doesn't help us out. Okay, and the verse there talks about being reasonable. Practice portion control. I love this verse in Proverbs. It says, put a knife to your throat if you're given to an appetite. I love it. It's talking now about when you get to go to before a king and they put the smorgasbord out. You know, it'd be like, what it's saying here is like when you go to the all-you-can-eat buffet, don't try to get your money's worth. Because that's only gonna make into a glutton. Right? That's what it says. You know, put the knife to your throat, right? That's what it's talking about. Practice portion control. You know, get it. The reality is that to lose weight, you have to burn more calories than what you take in. And there's right kinds of foods to eat and stuff like that. But it's really not that complicated. There's a ton of resources available on that. Number four, give me the next one. Eat breakfast. One of the best things you can do for yourself is eat breakfast. It's the most important meal of the day. And, you know, have a good breakfast. The next one is get some physical activity. I mean, it says there in Timothy, you know, physical training is good. It is good. Get out for a walk. You know, you have a lot of opportunities where you can take the stairs rather than waiting for the elevator. Take advantage of those. Really, take advantage of those opportunities. Maybe you bike or take the kids biking. Great thing to do. Maybe you work out at the gym. That's not a bad plan either. You can even do it at home. Number six, I'm going to have the worst team come and get ready. Get an adequate amount of sleep. Get an adequate amount of sleep. But the other side of this, too, is don't stay in bed all day. Make yourself do something. The negative there is seen in Proverbs 6:10 talks about how poverty comes to those that sleep too much. Number seven is get a regular physical exam. That's one of the best things you can do, guys, is get a physical every year. because the gals are onto this most of the time. Most of the gals are, but for us guys, we kind of think we don't need it. I've made a commitment in my early 30s to have a physical every year, and because I want to take care of my body. And the doctors can catch stuff if you do that. And if you can catch something in our culture today soon enough, more than likely there's a high chance, depending on what the disease or illness is, they can cure it. It's only when we let stuff go that it becomes problematic. And so those are just some ideas. I know there's other things I could say here, but here's the bottom line of what I want to finish with is this. Give me the last verse there, Russell. You were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. And I guess the question I would ask you to make is this. As we talk about rebooting our lives and we look at the physical body, what changes are you willing to work on and make as a goal this year? If you need some help, talk to me. I'll try to get you connected with people that can make a difference. Okay? Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for the chance to talk about these things. It is very challenging to think that we don't own our bodies, but you do if we're your followers. And so I pray that you'd speak into our lives. For those right now that are just sick and tired of where they're at, just within their heart, help them to come to the place of a commitment of moving forward, taking a step, getting some help. It doesn't have to be a program where you pay money for it. It can be just simply some good practical wisdom and self-discipline in controlling what we eat. Thank you again for today. Speak into our lives as only you can do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand as the worship team leads us. We'll have our men come and receive our offering at this time.
So we're going to do this new song again because the first time was to learn it. Now you can sing it. In fact,